On March 31st, the same day Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation into law that legalized adult-use marijuana, ending a years-long struggle by activists to combat the war on drugs, the Green Party in New York had a simple message. That was a good first step, but the journey isn't over yet. To explain the Liberal Third Party's position with much more nuance and eloquence than that, we spoke Tuesday afternoon to Michael O'Neill, a member of the New York State Green Party's Executive Committee. So before we get into how the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act could be improved, tell me what you like about the new law.
The Green Party is overjoyed that MARTA will expunge the records for people with previous convictions that would no longer be considered criminalized under the new law. And we think that some of the equity programs to provide communities disproportionately impacted by the drug war with opportunities to participate in the newly legal industry, such as 50% of licenses to social equity applicants and 40% of tax revenue directed towards the community grants reinvestment fund, are really hopeful signs.
Well, I guess pivoting then to improving on the new law, your party has said more could be done to eliminate the illegal marijuana market, which currently exists and may end up competing with the state's legal commercial market whenever that gets set up. So how could the state end illegal sales, and why is that an important goal?
It's an important goal because we're witnessing the tide turning against the drug war in New York at long last. And so what we have to do, and part of the Green Party's mission, is to continue organizing to ensure that we, the people, win the peace. And that means that we need to have a legalization regime that doesn't design a bureaucracy that will continue to inflict harm on the communities that have already borne the brunt of injustices from the drug war. And we don't want that same bureaucracy to enrich exploitative industries that have powerful lobbyists and deep pockets. So to your specific question regarding the underground market and how that could compete with the legalization regime, if you have prohibitively high startup costs for application fees to become a licensed business, if you have really prohibitive consumption taxes, if you're talking about 9% for a state tax and an additional 4% tax from municipalities for the purchase of cannabis, then that does not bode well for eliminating the black market. We want to see tax levels that are low enough to ensure that a black market doesn't continue and to not make marijuana prohibitively expensive for working class New Yorkers.
What is the sweet spot then for a tax rate?
We are looking at a range of percentages and maybe looking at comparable taxes for alcohol and tobacco. Now, the comparison to alcohol and tobacco is tricky because there are aspects of the way that alcohol and tobacco are regulated that the Green Party takes issue with as well. So it's not so much that we look at those as a model to follow, but we want to ensure that legalization of cannabis does not perpetuate a stigma against it or penalties for using it that are more so than comparable recreational substances or recreational substances that are arguably more harmful and are demonstrated to be more addictive than cannabis.
When it comes to competing with the illegal market, then, why not just have the state subsidize the cost of marijuana so that, you know, it's not even a competition to begin with? Don't even stop. Just stop with tax rates.
I think a universal basic income towards recreational substances is something that many New Yorkers would be interested in debating and talking about. That sounds like an exciting idea. I think that with the immediate policy framework, what we're concerned about is that if you have funding that's going towards community equity programs and drug education, let's make that funding not contingent on the uncertain nature of marijuana sales. Let's just enshrine that in mandatory spending. And that would result in a lower tax rate on marijuana and potentially eliminate the black market, rather than saying, we're going to have these hefty taxes on the sale of it, but we're doing that so we can fund these programs that really we should be funding as a decent society anyway.
Under the new state law, New Yorkers 21 and older can consume marijuana, but you guys want the age lower. How come?
given the historic use of cannabis by teenagers and the real possibility of law enforcement using marijuana consumption as a pretext for harassing young folks on the street, we are interested in seeing marijuana as being legalized for use 18 and above. Now, I realize that the age limit for the legal purchase and possession and consumption for alcohol and tobacco is also 21. This is one of those areas where we don't necessarily see existing laws as a model to be followed. If you can be drafted by the military to fight in a war, then you should be able to purchase cannabis for your own personal use. And that's, we think, just a basic issue of if a person has the mental faculties and the moral reasoning to participate in a war or to be drafted into a war, then they should be able to purchase cannabis of their own free will.
But based on that argument, why don't we just raise the draft age to 21?
If we would like to pivot to abolishing the draft and convert the Department of Defense into
a
green peace economy,
what I'm saying is, you don't like comparing it, with the existing laws. So is it a genuine argument to make then, comparing it to the age for drafting people into the armed services?
I think what I've referred to is that it's tricky comparing it to existing law, and we don't see existing law necessarily as a model to be followed. What we want to make sure is that the legalization of cannabis represents higher standards for justice and equity, and where the legalization of cannabis in New York represents kind of a furthering of a stigma compared to other substances, that should be addressed. And in the case where there is a multitude of evidence to support that cannabis is not harmful or addictive in the same way that cigarettes and alcohol are, that there's no reason to default the same age limit as alcohol and cigarettes.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're discussing the Green Party's ideas for improving marijuana legalization in New York, and our guest is Michael O'Neill, a member of the party's executive committee. What are your thoughts on limitations on how much you can grow at your home or caps on the amount of marijuana you can possess?
We think that full legalization means no restrictions on possession or on the amount of home grow. That's the standard that we are organizing for as a party. The current limit of 3 ounces that you can have on your person or 5 pounds at home seems arbitrary in the sense that we don't place restrictions on the amount of alcohol or cigarettes that you can keep at your home. You can brew as much beer as you want at your home if you have the equipment to do so. And so these restrictions seem far worse in the case of cannabis possession. And we see this as rife with potential for abuse by law enforcement in the same way that stop and frisk was used to create a pretext for arresting people on the streets of New York. And these were for small amounts of pot, even though that had been decriminalized in New York since 1977. The issue with homegrown is particularly complex because of the getting into the weeds, so to speak, of cannabis cultivation. You're restricted to 3 mature plants and 3 so-called juvenile plants. If you're cultivating cannabis, because of the way cannabis flowers, you need combinations of male-sexed cannabis flowers and female-sexed cannabis flowers in order to successfully pollinate and create a new generation. So if you have 3 mature plants, but all of them are male sexed or female sexed, then you're not going to be able to cross-pollinate and create more plants. And so what do you do then? So this is a level of detail that we're not sure has been rationally or responsibly explored by the policy framers, And we want to ensure, again, that we're not creating a bureaucracy that is going to grind everyday people under the gears because they don't have access to a phalanx of lawyers and consultants to help them navigate this bureaucracy. And then that allows big pharma, big agra, big alcohol to flourish and profit off of a what's supposed to be the end of a drug war that already brutalized and exploited everyday people. In short, we don't want to see the war on drugs transfer as the exploitation of people for the sake of the prison industrial complex into the big agra industrial complex or the big tobacco industrial complex.
Beyond marijuana, the Green Party wants to decriminalize all drugs, according to the press release that went out on March 31st. Why is that? And does that mean we should go so far as to have commercial markets for drugs like, you know, heroin and cocaine?
When we talk about the decriminalization of all drugs, we're looking at treating drug addiction as a health issue and not as a criminal issue. And so the ways in which drug addiction has ravaged so many parts of our country, the supposed answer of prohibition just it simply doesn't work. And so the emphasis is that a failed drug war means, number one, restorative justice and understanding that the drug war has always been a proxy for a war on the poor and a war on people of color. And that for people who are and for communities that are suffering from drug addiction, that needs to be addressed through medical treatment, through economic opportunity, and through addressing other systemic aspects of our society that drive addiction, that do not provide people with the treatment that they need to get out of drug addiction, and all the many economic injustices that facilitate a black market for drugs.
And that question, though, about a recreational market, should there be one?
I think the higher priority is stopping the harm from this failed drug war. This is less about like an issue of civil liberties and should I have the right to purchase recreational substances. That is part of the legalization issue, but the higher concern is who is currently being brutalized by the failed drug war, who under the current way that we approach drugs and drug addiction in our society are not getting the help that they need, and how can we work to address that?
Well, we've been speaking with Michael O'Neill. He is a member of the New York State Green Party's Executive Committee. Michael, thank you so much for making the time and sharing your ideas.
Thank you for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.